Hello, everybody, and welcome. You're listening to The Leadership Focus, an internet radio show geared to everyday leadership, both at work and throughout your life. Each week, we present you with new ideas, interesting guests, and actionable strategies to help you be an incredible leader with a more balanced life. I'm your host, Lisa Posviorg, Executive Coach and CEO of Focus Coaching, a leadership coaching and training firm based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And tonight our topic is strategic marketing, bringing new sources of revenue to the forefront and new ideas to life. And our guest is strategic marketing guru Dee Davey, with over 30 years of experience in international marketing, both here and in the UK, including such companies as AT&T NCR, Siemens, Thomson Reuters, and Nautilus and Stairmaster. Dee has a unique ability to understand strategic marketing from a global perspective. An excellent facilitator and communicator, she thrives on managing virtual teams to make things happen and using not only her own enthusiasm and creativity, but their ideas. Dee's infectious can-do attitude engages teams of medium and large organizations to bring innovative marketing strategies to life. We're fortunate to have her here tonight to allow us to pick her brain and tap some of her energy and expertise. Welcome, Dee.
Thank you so much, Lisa. This is a great pleasure to be on your show.
It's great to have you here. And first of all, I want to thank you for being here live on your birthday. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you. This is a great combination to a wonderful day and the beginning of a wonderful new year ahead.
Good, good. Well, I hope this will be an extra fun part of your special day. Starting out here, I have so many questions to ask you, but first, can you tell us a little bit about marketing? It seems that there's a fair amount of confusion about what it is. I hear people talk about it as if it's synonymous with running ads or advertising. Can you tell us about that and sort of fill us in?
I'd be happy to, Lisa. Many people have the misconception that marketing is purely about the marketing communications, the advertising, the PR, the promotion. But marketing goes much, much deeper than that. It touches every part of your organization and the way you think about your whole business. And it really starts at the front end with basically there are four components to really what marketing is all about. This is kind of my nutshell of marketing.
Okay.
The first component is really who's your customer, what do they want, and why? And what do they need? What is their pain? What are their issues? What are they having problems with? How can you help them? What are the benefits that you can bring to them with your products and services? Just as an example, a lot of companies will say, hey, we've got a great idea. We know our customer is going to love this. And then they produce a brochure, and they haven't taken the time to sit back and think about what it is they're actually going to bring to market, and they haven't talked to their customers, so they don't really know if their customers really need this or not. The role of marketing is to make sure that you match what you as a business are really, really good at doing, your core competencies, the things that you are experts in, with a market of customers and clients that really, really need what you do. A lot of companies say, oh, we're great at doing 14 million things. We can do everything for everybody. Well, you can't market everything to everybody, so you have to focus down. And that's part of the role of marketing. The second aspect of marketing, again, that a lot of companies don't think about is if you have a portfolio of products, if you have a new idea for a product, whatever your business is about, you have to make sure that you have the people, the process, the tools, the management capability, the answering of how are we going to do this consistently over time. You know, having identified we have something that a customer wants and they're willing to pay for, we're satisfying a need that they have, how are we going to make sure that we do this time and again, consistently, so that we deliver quality and we meet and exceed customer expectation. The third aspect of marketing is the external marketing communications, and those are the pieces that most people are familiar with. And there are over 200 different marketing techniques that can be used to bring your message to your market, to create lead generation, and transform prospects into paying customers. The fourth element, and again, many businesses just don't think about this aspect of marketing, and that's in addition to your external audience, you also have an internal audience. Every person in your business is a part of your business and your product and services set. And each one in the business needs to understand what it is you're bringing to your customers, what's important from your customer's perspective, what's important from a business perspective, and personally the individual role that they play and how they add value. So really marketing, strategic market planning and market planning and marketing is who's your customer, what do they want and why, can we deliver this consistently over time, and can we make money? You have to make sure that you balance the idea with the actual revenue generation to balance off all of the effort and energy that you're going to be expending. And then making sure you have the people and processes in place to deliver. Your external audience is primed and aware and understands and becomes advocates, and your internal audience is actually supporting the product delivery as well. That is all underpinned by your branding and your quality. So it's no small piece when you talk about marketing.
Right. It's very broad. So the strategic marketing part, what exactly is that then? How do you kind of corral that and describe that separately?
That's really, it kind of boils down to three things, and that's where is the company now? Where are we? What is our market share? What are our current objectives? What are we achieving with our business? And then it's where does the company want to go in the future? It's taking that future vision. It's looking forward 18 months, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road. Where do we want to take this business in the future? And then the third aspect is really, how are we going to get there? What are the things that we have to do to make sure that we can make that vision become a reality? So the strategic market planning is really, you know, conducting a situation analysis. Where are we now? Where's the company now? Setting some marketing objectives. Where do we want to be? What are the goals? What are the key things that we want to achieve? And then the marketing strategy is, how are we going to get there?
What's a typical time frame for a strategic marketing plan? Are you talking a year? Do you do a 3 and 5 year plan, even longer? How does that work?
Typically, the clients that I work with are looking for a 5 year marketing strategy and a plan.
Okay.
And that would be broken down into, it varies by client, but typically we would look at a tactical plan that would cover quick wins, things we can do right now with existing resource or an additional, minimal additional resource, some quick win things that we can do right now to meet the business objectives. Mm-hmm. And then a slice of that would then be a plan covering around an 18-month. These are the things that you should be doing in an 18-month period. Next, these are the things that you should be thinking about doing to start bringing to market in about 3 years' time. And then these are the things that you should be doing and working towards in 5 years' time if you want to be in business longer. So it's really cut into segments. We take a big picture view, but then actually put the plan in place into a right now quick win, 18-month, 3-year, and 5-year phases. And each of those phases going out is a little bit more vague because they're further away in the timeline. Mm-hmm. With the quick wins, we know exactly what we need to do, how we're going to do it. The 18-month plan is we know what we need to gear up for right now, and we know the resource that we need to pull in and the types of programs that we want to run and how we want to run them. We don't have the detail of the words yet or the resource, but we know what we want to do. And then the 3-year plan might incorporate things like you need to start developing some new services or some new products because we can see that your customer needs are changing and that they're going to be changing over time. And if you're going to keep up with your customer needs, you will have to start adapting yourselves internally. So start putting those plans in motion now.
I like that. You know, I'm struck by how similar that is to the process that I follow when working on leadership development. For instance, if I'm working with an emerging leader, I always want to get quick wins, like what do you want to accomplish in the next month to 2 months? Because that builds momentum and enthusiasm and people get excited mm-hmm. and then want to go forward. And, you know, I'm a big fan of there's not much that you can't do if you really want to do it, if you have a long enough time frame. Mm-hmm. So if you're a manager, for instance, and you want to be the CEO and you have 10 years, if you start and you set up the interim steps and you work toward it, it can definitely happen. Not in a year or 2 years necessarily if you're at that level. But I like those pieces of the plan at different stages because that's what gets people to the bigger goals and where they want to go and, of course, keeps them focused too.
Yes. Yeah. And I think you see those synergies between the strategic market planning and the leadership because they are both achieving goals. They're both mm-hmm. objective-based, and
sure.
therefore, you know, similar processes apply.
I'm sure you see lots of mistakes, Dee, but what's the most common mistake you see with companies or organizations in marketing?
Oh, it breaks my heart because time and time again, I'm approached by businesses, because I offer my time a lot in the community, just answering questions and, mm-hmm. you know, just giving some guiding tips. And it breaks my heart when I'm approached with a scenario and the person I'm speaking with says, well, my business is doing this and this. Which marketing thing should I do? Which is the best one?
Mm-hmm.
And there is no magic bullet. There is no silver bullet. We don't know what is going to be the best marketing tactic or group of marketing tactics that are going to provide the correct balance and structure to moving the business forward. It really does. You really have to go back and think it through. There's no magic bullet. And it's the look of disappointment on people's faces when I say, I can't tell you. There's no magic bullet. I can't pull anything out of the hat for you. And they kind of look at me like, oh, I was hoping I was going to come here and in 5 minutes know the answer to all my problems.
Well, and there's not one size fits all or one thing as well.
No.
You know, it's multiple touches and, you know, which things most effectively reach your target market and how do you capture attention. And, of course, you know and I know that people don't really buy things that they should buy so much. They buy things they want to buy.
Often it's so much based on emotion.
Yeah.
Decisions based on emotion.
Sure.
And, you know, when you're marketing or when you're developing your leaders, we have to be in tune with those and make sure that everything is aligned so that we're moving people in the right direction, in the positive direction.
Well, so many times I'll be working with clients who are building businesses or starting businesses or something, and, you know, I'll say to them, you have to reel them in with something that excites them and they can see the hope in, and there's promise and there's something glimmering there for them. And then, later on, give them what they need. You know, as opposed to give them the medicine, they're going to come and buy it. but it's sometimes tough to explain that the initial thing is about emotion always, even though that's not what the business owner thinks that they really need.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny.
One of the first stages that I take a client through when I'm working with them on developing their marketing roadmap or their strategic marketing plan, whatever you want to call it, we really do have to take a deep internal view. It's really the time to look at us as a business internally and understand what we're really, really good at, what we need improving on, and listing all of those out. And there's a little exercise that I do with my clients. And I don't know if your audience might want to just take a few minutes with me and go through that.
What a good idea.
I just want to take them through the principles of a SWOT.
Okay, sure, let's do that.
Okay, if
let's
I could ask all of the listeners to get a plain sheet of paper in front of you and a pen, and I'm going to give you the framework for doing a SWOT analysis. That's SWOT, and that stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And I would like you to divide your paper in half down the center vertically and in half down the center horizontally so that you have four quadrants. And in the upper left-hand corner, I want you to write strengths. In the upper right-hand corner, I want you to write weaknesses. In the lower quadrant, I want you to write opportunities. And in the right lower quadrant, did I say right? The left lower quadrant is opportunities. Right,
right
lower quadrant is threats.
I'm with you.
Okay. So
hopefully our listeners are too, yeah.
So with this framework, a great exercise to do internally with your own staff, and then you can eventually do this with some of your business partners, some of your selected clients, if you trust them and they trust you. But get a group of people within your business together in a room and do a little brainstorming session. And in the strengths quadrant, start asking the people in your business what they feel is the strength of the company, because I can guarantee you that you will highlight some strengths that you have not thought of because they've been in the head of your field engineer or your telephone receptionist or
mm-hmm.
your cleaner, and they've not always had that opportunity to express something really great that they see about the company, and this is a wonderful chance to get that. So go through what you think you're really good at. Ask yourself some questions amongst you as a team. What do you do really well at? What advantages do you think you have? What resources do you have access to? You know, think about, well, what kind of resources do we have? What do other people see as your strengths? Think about maybe some of the telephone conversations your salespeople have had with customers or your help desk has had with customers. What do customers think about, or your suppliers? What have suppliers said when you've been in a supplier negotiation meeting? You'll often get feedback from your supplier about your business, but because you're in a negotiation meeting, it's not captured. This is a great time to capture those things. So take some time and pick the brains of your coworkers, your staff, your executives, and list out all of the strengths. Next, think about the things that we could do better. Where can we improve? Where can we do better? Where do we know we have a shortfall? Where might we think we have a shortfall? What are some of the things that we should avoid? Maybe some of the customer situations where we performed less well than we would have expected at a time, and write all of those down. These strengths and weaknesses in the upper quadrant are all of the things within your control. These are managed by you. You can direct the destiny. You can make changes. You control these. The next go into opportunities and threats quadrants. The opportunities are things where you see that might be positive opportunities for you to perhaps as a result of changes in technology. How has technology changed the way you do business? And how might you be able to do things differently or capture a new market segment or change your HR policies as a result of some legislation that's going on? Where can you see that we have a chance to maybe move into a new geographic area or offer your products and services more remotely or virtually because of the technology changes? What changes are happening as a result of government policy that are impacting your business now or potentially in the future where you might see some opportunities? So get all of those down as well. And then threats. Threats are the things, the obstacles that you're facing or the obstacles that you think you might be facing in the future. Things that you have to start planning and doing to prevent, manage, or avoid. And those are maybe things that your competitors are doing that you're not doing, or changes that your customers are demanding on you that might mean that you have to invest in new equipment or new resource. And then as a byline to looking at the threats that might be looming ahead for your business, ask, could any of these weaknesses seriously threaten your organization? Because this is a great wake-up call to take action now before it actually happens. And the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats really give some great guidance internally to some of the things that you're really, really good at doing that you might not be including in your marketing communications. One little example, if I may, Lisa, I know I'm going on a little bit here, but one client that I was working with on an internal discovery exercise, and I used the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats framework in a few workshop sessions and other techniques. But one of the things that we found that their customers absolutely loved about them was the fact that they offered knowledge transfer. This was an organization that provided professional consulting services in the technology arena. And they did a great job of project management and network design and implementation and software integration with equipment. But one of the things that their customers really loved about them is when they were on site, they made sure that the customer was self-sufficient so when they left the customer on their own, they could do it themselves. They had resource manuals, they had how-to instructions, they had people trained up to do the job that they were doing for them. And that knowledge transfer message never appeared anywhere in their brochures, their website, their proposals, and yet it was one of the most valued things that customers loved and
that's
were willing
huge.
To pay for.
Yeah.
It's huge.
That's a huge asset, sure. As opposed to we make you very dependent on us and you're going to be paying out forever. Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. And the fact that their customers really valued that and the company had never mentioned it in any of their marketing materials or marketing literature. So that was on their quick win list of things to do.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. That's great. So I'm wondering what you say. I'm sure you get a lot of companies that say, gee, we'd love to do more marketing, but we've had all these cutbacks and we really don't have resources to do marketing. I mean, what do you say to companies who say, well, can't do that now, the economy's bad?
Oh, Lisa, I get so frustrated for them because unless they marketing is their doorway to the future. 80% of their energies and efforts should be on marketing. And once you stop marketing, your business can only go one way. You constantly have to keep your pulse, your finger on the pulse. You must maintain that focus and direction to meeting those business objectives. And marketing actually helps you save money. Marketing by actually looking at the marketing that you should be doing and doing the right marketing, you're improving your return on investment because you're doing the right things,
mm-hmm.
and you're approaching the right customers, and you're offering them the right things. It's all about making sure that you're not wasting marketing dollars along the way, that every marketing dollar is effective because it's very focused and targeted. So I urge companies, please don't cut marketing, but use your marketing dollars wisely. Minimize the
very
waste.
Very carefully,
maximize
sure.
The ROI.
Not the scatter approach.
Oh, my goodness. No.
Yeah. Let's try this. We'll just scatter it around.
Yeah.
I know. And especially when money's tight, marketing becomes even more important because companies that stop doing it just disappear.
And
no one even knows they're in business anymore.
And when you take the scattergun approach and something doesn't stick, then there's despondency and a feeling that, well, marketing doesn't work. There's an old adage, 50% of my marketing works. I'm just not sure which 50% it is.
It's funny. So we're just about out of time, actually. What's the most important takeaway you'd like our listeners to have from tonight?
The most important takeaway is really to take the time to take a step back, get back to the basics, and think about your business from your customer's eyes. Always view your business from your customer's eyes. At every touch point that you engage with your customer, look through their eyes. That's the most important.
Good. And this, quick tutorial on the SWOT analysis, I'm sure will be very useful to people because it's just a really nice, effective way of putting things in perspective and learning what you have to work with and generating ideas, and particularly the strengths part really brings people together because they start going, yeah, we are good.
Yep.
And we forgot how good we were.
Lisa, I would like to offer some additional information to your listeners.
Sure.
I prepared a free handout just covering the key points of what I've been talking about this evening, what strategic market planning is, and I've done a help sheet on strategic market planning, and they can find that on my LinkedIn profile page. They just need to go into LinkedIn and find D-E-E, Davey, D-A-V-E-Y, and it's in a little catalog of files that are freely downloadable. I also have on my LinkedIn page a little PowerPoint presentation that I've used in the past called The Silver Bullet, Which Silver Bullet? And that's all about strategic
uh-huh.
market planning. So a lot of the ideas and concepts that I've just briefly covered will be covered in a little bit more detail.
Well, that's great. Yeah, those are nice. Free resources like that are few and far between that are that high quality. Well, I've really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you so much for sharing your valuable expertise and insight tonight, and best of luck to you as you go along.
Well, thank you, Lisa. It's been my pleasure, and it's been a great culmination to my birthday. I've really enjoyed this, and thank you so much, and thank you to all your listeners for taking the time to listen in.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us tonight on the Leadership Focus radio show, which gives you new ideas, interesting guests, actionable strategies to help you be an incredible leader with a more balanced life. Hope that you've enjoyed the show, and if you have, please go to blogtalkradio.com and become a friend and make us a favorite. To sign up for our free newsletter with more tips and strategies you can use, go to focuscoaching.net on the web. Again, that's focuscoaching.net on the web. Until next time, this is your host, Lisa Pasbjorg, urging you to be a better leader every day.